Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
What is this? Your 2023 self could really surprise you. What the hell is this?
I don't know.
It's a classic exercise at the start of the new year. We reflect back on just how much we've changed. We are more mature, more patient, less impulsive, we may tell ourselves. But when it comes to projecting forward, to imagining our future selves, most of us find it hard to believe we will change very much at all. We'll always have the same personality, same traits, same values, best friends, and favorite things. So in other words, we look at the past, we go, wow, look at how I've changed. What about the future? I'm not going to change at all. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray and whatever your name is and whatever your name is.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And anyway, welcome back to our program. And I was just commenting, we're back from our, you know, Christmas vacation, New Year's vacation. And man, it's been, I'm having to slug through this, you know.
Well, all of that alcohol.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. What do you mean all that alcohol? Didn't you tell me that you polished off a 12-pack of Heineken?
Well, yeah, but I had a vacation for a solid week and a half. What makes you think that that one 12-pack of Heineken is what's making me drag my ass into the new year?
Well, it's, you know,
that's a lot of beer.
That was way back around Christmas, man. Don't you think I've gotten over that? And by the way, I did not polish off a 12-pack of Heineken. I shared it with a few other people.
Well, how many did you drink?
Probably four.
Oh, yeah. You said that...
Bud, think about it. If I'm sharing a 12-pack with, let's say, three other people or two other people, the most I'm going to have are four.
Yeah, but not if you're hogging them.
Not if you start to hog them. That's what I was going
to
say.
If I start to hog them, meaning what?
Like you're Bogarting a beer. You're standing over the 12-pack going, hey, you know, I bought it.
No, I don't do that. Maybe you do that. I don't do that, okay?
You don't stand over the beer and say, how many is that? How many have you had?
No, I don't do that, no.
You do it with donuts?
Do I do it with donuts?
I have an uncle that did that. He'd say, how many donuts have you had? I'd say, well, and I'd say, what business is it of yours? Because he is pretty heavy, you know.
Yeah, people that have too much weight, that are counting the donuts that others have, that in and of itself is a bit of a... I think it's an assault on one's relationships, on one's being, on one's self-worth, you know.
Margaret, what do you got to put that in such big terms for?
What?
If a guy is too fat and he's counting how many donuts everybody's eating, just call it what it is. He's a busybody glutton. What is it with the...
No, Phil, I don't do that. I don't simplify things just so I can make it easy for myself to understand. I'm saying...
I'm not simplifying it to make it easy for myself to understand. I'm saying, what do you got to go off into this big, it's an assault on one's being? What does that mean?
When you are fat, and you've been fat, right?
Yes, I've been fat.
When you're 300 pounds, and you're hovering over the box of donuts that someone just came back with from Spud Nuts, are you following?
Yes.
And you're counting how many donuts everyone's eating, you are assaulting the very nature of family and relationship.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what it is you're talking about.
I don't understand that either. What are you saying?
Are you purposefully stupid, or are you just doing it because it's a new year?
But, Margaret, what I'm asking you is, what does that mean when you say a fat man hovering over a box of donuts...
I didn't say hovering over. I said when you're a fat man counting the number of donuts.
All right, that other people are having.
Yes.
All right. He's assaulting the very nature of relationship. Is that what you said?
What are you waving your hand around for?
Yeah, Phil, you look like you've got some autism. You're going, ew.
Yeah, I'm saying you don't have to wave your hand around.
Hey, don't worry about me waving my hands around and watch it with the autism crack, okay?
You were calling those other people autistic. You said they had Asperger's.
That's me. I'm simply asking you, why can't you just put it into simple terms? If a fat man is hanging over a box of donuts, counting all the donuts other people are eating, that guy's got, he's fat, he's got a problem with,
Yeah, go ahead. You were the one that didn't like the way I was describing it.
I'm saying he's a glutton and a busybody glutton. How about that?
I think that's cruel to talk about a fat man being a glutton. There's psychological reasons, too.
There are a lot of psychological. My aunt said she worked with fat people at one of these occupational centers, you know.
Yeah.
And she said, man, people are fat for a lot of reasons. You know, they're fat because they like to eat. They're fat because they don't get enough exercise. They're fat because someone like bacon. You know, you may like you may not overeat, but you like bacon.
I love bacon, but I don't overeat bacon, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you overeat. You're fat because you eat too many donuts.
In other words, you're fat because you overeat, man. What are you giving me all this 5-6 different reasons for why people are fat? You're fat because you eat bacon. You're fat. Oh, here's another reason. You're fat because you eat donuts. And another reason is you're fat because you don't exercise. It's all the same fat, man. Okay? It's all the same fat man, too. So I used it as a pronoun, and I used it as an adjective and a pronoun. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
In any event, we were talking about this, you know, a fat man hovering over a box of donuts. I kind of completely just spaced on what it was I was talking about. Oh, 2023, really surprising you. So, you know, like me, I look back on this last year, and I say, well, I lost weight, and I have, you know... And I bought my company, and we're rehearsing a one-man show, and we're sort of evolving. 10 years from now, I know exactly where I'm going to be. I'm going to be living in an isolated mountaintop villa with walls and gunmen in towers and about 3 or 4 Ferraris in the driveway. 6 women that are living on property but in their own luxury cabanas, each to a cabana. There'll be 6 of them. Me in the main house.
You really are a pig, aren't you?
Oh, take it easy. I'm kidding around, okay?
Yeah, but that's where you want to be, though, right?
I wouldn't mind it, yeah, you know, but who knows? You know, 10 years from now, man, I don't really care. I want to live my life one day at a time.
See, what does that mean exactly, you want to live your life one day at a time?
I mean, I want to enjoy my life every day. I'm not even going to think about where I'm going to be 10 years from now. I'm not even going to think about that. I'm not, what's that going to get? What is that? I want to be successful. I want to have a good time with my life. I want to, you know, I'll put my money away and I'll just continue to explore this grand mystery that is the, you know, our existence here on this planet.
Yeah, and you said to her not to be...
Not to be what? Father James McQuarters joins us from Belmar Academy and from the Belmar Rectory there in Glendale, California. And Father McQuarters, you heard me. I was kind of waxing... philosophic as we're looking at this story here. Your 2023 self could really surprise you. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, I have to tell you that where I see myself in 10 years is I'm dead in 10 years because I'm 63 years of age now.
You're dead?
Well, yes, I think the odds are that I'd be dead. I'd be dead, and that's where I see myself.
Father, this is Margaret Gray. Are you saying that you see yourself in heaven?
I don't know. I hope. But I'm talking about the physical manifestation of the life that we have. And if you say to me, well, where are you going to be in 10 years, Father? I'd say I'm going to be underground. I know I'll be underground because they'll bury me. So I'll be underground.
You'll be dirt napping.
No, I don't use terms like dirt nap. I don't think it's respectful. And I don't think it's... Would you take this, too, and pick the candle up? I've got 3 candlelights in the back, Mrs. Jones. We just come from the market, Phil. But Mrs. Jones is our housekeeper, and she's taking in the candle up now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Taking in the candle up.
Yes. And it's not what you think.
What? I didn't say anything.
Well, I heard Miss Gray, she's taking in the candle up as if it's said. So,
Father, I didn't mean anything by that.
Yeah. So the point that I'm making is, in 10 years, I'm going to be dead. In 10 years, I'm going to be underground. In 10 years, I'll be underground, and the clothing that I'm in will have rotted considerably. What else do you want to know?
All right, so you don't see much of a future for yourself, then?
I think I've got a great future. I think in the coming years, I'm going to be able to complete my work. Doing God's work here on earth and ministering to the good people of our parish. And I'm hoping at some point between now and then to write a book, to learn how to play badminton. I'd like to travel to India, and I'd like to see some of the some of the sights of the world in that part of the world that I've never been to before. I'd like to go to Africa. I'd like to travel, if I can, to Mexico, back to Zihuatanejo, to the people of Zihuatanejo there in the parish, and help with the Father Torres and the good work he was doing there. But that's an awful lot that I want to do in the next 10 years, and I don't know if I'll be able to do all of that. So I think that what will happen to me is I'll die, and I'll be buried, and so in 10 years, I'll be underground in dirt, and there you go.
Well, do you think you'll have done all the things that you wanted to do?
No, I don't. It's too much. There's too much I want to do, because not only that, but I eventually want to somehow, and I don't think I'll be able to do it, is to get married. And
you're a priest.
I know I'm a priest. But if I do all the things that I need to do as a priest, then I'm thinking of giving up the priesthood and getting married. Now, do I have time to do all of that?
Well, why don't you do that now?
Because I haven't done everything that I need to do.
You want to go to India. You want to go to Mexico.
I want to go to India. I want to go to Mexico. I want to continue with the work that I'm doing here at Del Mar.
Okay.
I want to learn how to bowl. I want to learn how to archery.
You want to learn how to bowl? You want to learn how to do archery? What else?
I want, well, don't start asking me questions like everything I want to do is ridiculous. I like archery.
Yeah, but you don't, what about bowling? Who cares? Don't you want to do something other than bowl?
No, I want to bowl. I want to do it all.
And you don't think you'll be able to do it all because you think in 10 years you're going to be dead?
Yes, I think that it's a reasonable expectation I'll be dead in 10 years. So there you go. So that's what I've seen for myself, okay? The fact that you bother me when I'm coming back from the supermarket...
Wait, I didn't mean to bother you.
Well, this one here calls me up and says, Father, we need to have you on the air to talk about where you're going to be in 10 years. I said, right now, at the rate I'm going, I'm going to be a dead man. He said, well, that's good. You go on the air and say that. I said, well, I'm getting groceries out of my car. Mrs. Jones is here, and she's got two cantaloupes, and this one says, I'll bet she does. And
did you say that, bud?
I was joking around.
Well, I didn't take it as a joke.
Why don't you have a little bit of respect when you're talking to people, okay?
I was joking around. He said she's got two cantaloupes. And I said, where? And he said, up front.
Yes, because she was carrying the cantaloupes in front of her.
Well, I know that's what you're saying.
What? How likely is it, Bud, that I'm going to be commenting in a crude manner about a lady that is the housekeeper for the priest, for the diocesan priest here?
I don't know. All you said was she's holding on to her cantaloupes up front. And then I said, I'll bet she is.
You're talking to a priest, you jackball.
I tried to tell him that.
Yeah, but, well.
Well, what? Are you going to talk about child molestation again?
Yeah, because that's what they were doing.
Those guys did. I didn't. That was a long time ago.
Bud, you ought to apologize to Father Recorders.
I'm sorry.
You see, Bud, when you say something like that, it's disrespectful not only to the woman... It's disrespectful to her friends, it's disrespectful to myself, it's disrespectful to our house. This is where our priests live. Now, yes, I'll grant you she's got large breasts. And she was holding them together.
All right, will you hold on for a minute, because now you're getting into an area...
But you asked me the question...
No, I didn't ask you anything like that. We got to take a break, we'll be right back. World famous, yes, she's got large breasts. World famous, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why did you hang up on me?
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. You're the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch our nightly video cast. You can hear our show as well by way of podcast. It's delivered automatically to you if you, as a subscriber to the Phil Hendry website, so choose to have our daily show podcast delivered to you, and then that will, you know, that's cool. And then let's see what else. All kinds of stuff. Thousands of hours of downloadable. Plus, we are now Apple friendly. That means that all of our on-demand, you can watch or listen to on your iPod, on your iPhone as well as your iPad. And very, very soon, and I mean very soon, what are you shaking your head for, Margaret?
Oh, Phil, you've been talking about this.
I just talked to the guys today. We're this close to launching the new website design. You're going to love it. You're going to love it, baby. I'm telling you. And again, part of that will be live. All of the streaming, the live streaming, will be viewable on your iPhone as well as your iPad. So my Apple subscribers, hey, baby, a big thumbs up. You know, I'm with you, huh? Love you. Love you, babe.
Oh, my God. That's like saying, shove it deep and wide.
No, it isn't. They know I'm kidding around. But I... what was that?
That was me breaking off a hold, you jackass. You had me on hold now for the last 3 minutes.
I'm in a commercial break, for God. What was that, bud?
Yeah, he jumped off a hold so much that he made iTunes go... See there, like that.
I didn't do anything to iTunes. You put me on hold. So I broke off.
Will you get that hold button fixed once and for all?
I called a guy up. They're backed up till Tuesday.
Who is?
The hold button people.
There's some company out there that deals with hold buttons.
The hold button people?
Yeah, I called them up. I said, you fix the hold button? They go, what, is the guy breaking off? And I go, yeah. And he goes, where? And you go, and then I go,
all right, bud, don't tell me to freaking give me the Moby Dick version of the thing, okay? What, this is a on-hold guy?
Excuse me, but I'm here, and I'm a real person with feelings. Do you want to talk to me, or do you want to talk to Dickman?
Hold on for a minute, if you don't mind, Father, now that you've busted off a hold.
All right, fine.
Anyway, bud, would you put him on hold again?
You're just begging for it.
You're right. Father?
Yeah, don't tempt fate, my boy.
Hold on. Bud, just don't hum, okay?
Don't hum? In other words, I can't sing.
I'd rather you not while I'm talking to Dickman. All I want to ask Bud about... All I want to ask you is the following.
Hooray!
Hang up on him. I want to ask you this. The hold button...
You know something? You are... What Father McQuarters did... is weird, but you yourself are weird for even countenancing it, for having him back on the program, for allowing him on the air, for just being you, Phil. You scare me.
So I got a guy that's breaking off a hold, but I scare you. Now, Bud.
Would you two finish your business and get back to the program?
I told you there's a guy at a hold button company.
What do you mean a hold button company?
This guy says, he swears up and down that he'll fix it. Now, we met this guy, and you're not going to like where we met him, but we met this guy, and we said we had a problem.
What do you mean I'm not going to like where you met him? Where'd you meet him?
At Jumbo's Clown Room.
At Jumbo's Clown Room, at a strip club?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's, what, he's some kind of a maintenance guy that was in having a couple of pops?
Yeah, and we were watching the dancers, and...
So I want to be clear, you're talking about Jumbo's Clown Room with a woman sitting here.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but Mr. Henry asked me about it.
You're talking about Jumbo's Clown Room as if I'm not even here. Is that it?
No, Margaret, we're not. I asked them where they met this guy, this maintenance guy who runs a hold button company, and they said Jumbo's Clown Room, okay? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to tell them not to talk about it?
I'd rather that they not mention Jumbo's Clown Room.
All right. So you met this guy, and then what?
Well, but now I'm thinking about Jumbo's Clown Room.
Would you just let me ask these guys this question? So now what?
So the guy said he's got a hold button company.
What does that mean, he's got a hold button company?
The guy heard your show, and he heard a couple of people bust off hold. He said, are you two guys the guy on the Henry show? I said, yeah. He said, you still have the hold button? I said, yeah. He said, well, I fixed the hold button. I got a hold button company.
Yeah, and he took us outside to the van. And it said Arts Hold Button Company, something like that.
Arts Hold Button Company?
Well, yeah. And anyway, he said that he could come and fix it, so we set him up for tomorrow morning. He's going to come to the studio.
Well, I want one of you guys here to watch this guy work, okay? I don't want some guy in here just fooling around.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, and what's he going to do?
Going to fix the hold button so nobody can bust off of it.
See, in my opinion... I think that there's something wrong with the hold button. And if there isn't anything wrong with the hold button, people are busting off a hold, I think we need a priest. I think we may need Father McQuarters that I just hung up on, because we may need to have this whole studio exorcised, you know?
Like Jumping Jack?
No, not like Jumping Jacks. Exorcised as in drive the demons out. Not the Eminem interpretation. Exorcised as in drive the devils out. See?
Yeah, Eminem said they're doing Jumping Jack.
That's because Eminem doesn't know what the word means. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
What about me? What about me? And I was on the...
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, just don't blow my mind or try to confuse me or anything, because I got something very, very interesting to read, and I don't want you guys asking me all these questions, okay?
Well, that's really giving us credit.
Yeah, what do you think's going to happen?
This is very confusing, and every time you open your yap, especially you, bud, you get me all screwed up in the head, because I think this is... Now, listen to this, folks. Your 2023 self could easily surprise you. What does that mean? It means that today, if you're asked what kind of a person you will be like 10 years from now, it is very common for people, whether it's you, me, it is an average, the average person generally predicts very little change. We generally think that we're going to be kind of the same person. We're going to have a little bit more of this, a little bit less of that, a little bit more of something else. But we don't really predict radical change for ourselves. In other words, we don't see ourselves being much different 10 years from now than we are right now. However, as the first paragraph indicated when I read this to you guys before the break, if you look back on your life of, say, the last year or 2 years, you see a lot of change. You can probably see what... a lot of stuff that you've been through, a lot of things you've learned. And so it's interesting. Even though we've lived through the last 10 years, and if you look back on your life over the last 10 years, you'd probably say something along the lines of, I sure as hell wouldn't have predicted all of that stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened. And consequently changed me a lot. So you know that you've been through a lot and have changed quite a bit over the last 10 years. And yet, if I were to say to you, what do you think you'll be like 10 years from now? The average person says, oh, well, you know, kind of the same person. So we don't really quite get it. Now, here's what this study did to prove this point. It's a little tough, but I will interpret it the best way I know how. Instead of asking people, what are you going to be like in 10 years? And then waiting 10 years... and seeing if any of those changes came true. This is what they did. They asked people questions about the next 10 years. For instance, how much money will you pay to see your favorite band? How much more money will you pay to see your favorite band 10 years from now? Let's say your favorite band is Linkin Park or whatever. Bud, isn't that your favorite band?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer would be, don't say, no, it's not. But let's say you'd pay $50 more.
Okay.
All right.
I wouldn't, though.
Now, they also asked people 10 years older than you. How old are you, 19?
Yeah.
All right. Then they asked 29-year-olds, how much money would you pay today to see your favorite band of 10 years ago? So you see what they were saying? They're asking people... 10 years younger, how much money would you pay 10 years from now? How much more money than you would pay today? How much more money would you pay 10 years from now to see your favorite band? And the average person said, I'd pay $50 more.
So this would be to see their favorite band 10 years from now?
Yeah, their absolute favorite band. How much more money, knowing the prices go up, they say, I'd pay $50 more. Then they went to people that were 10 years older than, like, say, Bud's group would be 19. They went to 29-year-olds, and they asked them, how much money would you pay today to see your favorite band of 10 years ago? How much more money would you pay than you paid, say, 10 years ago? So let's say my favorite band 10 years ago, I don't know what my favorite band was 10 years ago. It's probably the same band that I had. But let's just say you had a favorite band. Those people that were 10 years older did not say they would pay that much more money. They would pay a lot less.
So the point being that they learned over the 10 years that it wasn't quite worth the extra $50.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we say, here's the way we are today and here's the way we're going to be in 10 years, we generally don't have it right, because I understand that all people are individuals. And I know that individually we're going to have very specific answers. But taken as a group, you know, which is kind of the way, you know, psychologists and sociologists work, because they're working just on sort of the average view of the human animal. Taken as a group, we think we're going to do thus and so in 10 years, and it, based on this study, is not necessarily going to be that way. We're going to be much different. So those 29-year-olds are different from those 19-year-olds. Those 29-year-olds are the 19-year-olds 10 years down the road. The 19-year-old said, I would pay $50 more in 10 years to see my favorite band today. The 29-year-old says, my favorite band of 10 years ago is not worth $50 more to see today.
How much did they say?
Well, it was a lot less. You know, I don't know if they actually put a dollar and cents value on it, but it was much less than $50. You know?
See, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know I wouldn't, you know.
Well, you did say you would pay less, right? You said $50 just to be a good guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay, because I know I probably wouldn't like the same music.
See, that's not, but most people say, oh, I'm always going to love this music. I'm always going to, and that's generally, I got to tell you something. I don't know, if somebody would have asked me when I was in high school, are you always going to love Jimi Hendrix's music? I'm not exactly sure how I would answer that. I probably would have said yes. But if somebody's going to say to me, is that the only music you'll ever listen to? I would definitely say no. I would have said, oh, yeah, I'll listen to a lot of different music. But if you go get into my car and drive around town with me today,
which I have done, and you've got nothing but Jimi Hendrix playing.
No, I don't have nothing but.
No, it's mostly Jimi Hendrix.
I got a lot of Hendrix, okay? I admit it. But, no, I don't exclusively listen to it, but I pretty much, you know, that's my favorite music. In other words, my favorite artist today is pretty much my favorite artist that has been my whole life. Is that a function of my age? I guess. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, this was this study that was done. I'm trying to figure out who this was. Well, in the journal Science, the author was Daniel Gilbert. He's a psychology professor at Harvard University. And Daniel Gilbert is quoted as saying, I have to tell you that never in my wildest dreams when I had a long ponytail and I was hitchhiking around the country and playing my guitar did it occur to me that my greatest joy would be sitting next to the love of my life, eating dinner on a TV tray and watching Jeopardy. Now, that's the author of this study.
So he was a wild hippie and
there were a lot of hippies back then that said, oh, man, you know, when I'm in my 40s, I'm going to be like, you know, they probably, every hippie thought they were going to be Steve Jobs, to be honest with you. Or they thought they were going to be the head of some revolutionary effort, you know, whether it was political or pharmaceutical or, you know. But here's a guy being very honest, you know, when I was hitchhiking around the country, I was playing my guitar. He's basically doing his hippie thing. That his greatest joy in life would be sitting next to his wife, watching Jeopardy, eating dinner from a TV tray.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, he sold out, man.
He sold out. Yeah, well, you know, that's probably what he would have said about himself.
Well, don't you think that's a sellout? Don't you think that's a cop-out?
No, I don't. I think that's a man who has found his niche. He's found his place. That's what he likes. What are you going to do, okay?
Yeah, I think that another thing, ask his wife if she's digging it.
That's a very good question. Maybe the joy of his life is sitting on his, to use your words, Phil, sitting on his dead can watching Jeopardy and eating God knows what. I'll bet you she is dying inside. She is living a life of absolute quiet desperation, in the words of Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Don't be sarcastic.
No, in the words of Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah, most men do, Mr. Henry, lead of a desperation.
Lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got the three musketeers of self-reliance. I got the three musketeers here of esoteric kind of stuff. Existential jazz and all that.
Well said.
Thank you. Henry David Thoreau said the what? Maybe she's happy. Have you thought about that?
Have you thought about the fact that here's some guy sitting on his can watching Jeopardy?
He's not sitting on his can. He's the author of a study that was published in the journal Science. He's a psychology professor at Harvard. He did this study that has received all of this notoriety and is getting mass attention in the mass media. We're talking about it on our show. I'd say this cat is doing more than sitting on his dead can watching Jeopardy.
And yet he did say that's the biggest joy in his life.
Well, it may be his biggest joy, but he's obviously doing more with his life than sitting on his can. And I'd be willing to bet you that his wife, whoever she is very proud of her husband.
Maybe she's a member of the faculty, too. Maybe she does things... Okay, Margaret, you know, I'm not saying she doesn't. God, I just think you're not seeing the whole picture.
Whatever, okay?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the hell ever.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Denzel.
Yeah, you sound like Denzel in Training Day.
Just shut up.
Hey, Margaret, take it easy, okay? We're just talking. He says, but now I'm the guy who does that, and I know with great confidence I'll never change. So what he's saying is the following thing. When he was a young man, playing his guitar, wearing his long hair, and traveling the countryside, and just being a hippie, never in his wildest dreams would he ever imagine that he would find great joy sitting next to the love of his life, whoever that may be. We're saying wife, it might be.
Yeah, it might be boyfriend.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about? What we're talking about, he did not imagine back then that he would find joy in watching Jeopardy and eating a TV dinner next to the love of his life. Okay. Now he went further, and this further illustrates the study. He then says, today, I know that I will never change. Of course he's being facetious.
But he's making the point that that's the way most people are.
Exactly. So most of us marvel at how much we've changed. We look back on our lives and we say, wow, look at all the stuff. I never thought I would be where I am today. I never thought that I would go in this direction. I never, you know. But then when we ask ourselves, where are we going to be in 10 years? Pretty much be the same person. So we never quite connect. We don't get it, you know, that change, certainly if you're ambitious or if, you know, you find joy in exploring life and you're going to change. There's going to be things that change. You know, life happens. What is it that, was it John Lennon that said that?
What?
Yeah, John Lennon said life happens.
No, he didn't. He said life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans.
Well, John Lennon didn't say that, Phil. That sounds far too profound.
Oh, I see. Well, okay. Can we get back to Henry David Thoreau?
Henry David Thoreau said that a man leads a life of quiet desperation.
Are you belching?
Yes, otherwise I would have said to Bud, you're an idiot, because that's not what he said.
But you were belching.
Yes, I was. I was belching. There. Does everybody know? You all know I was belching. I was trying to hide it, but Margaret's pointing it out to you.
Well, I felt it necessary, yeah.
So what did Henry David Thoreau say, Bud?
Henry David Thoreau said...
His name is Thoreau, not Throw.
It's T-H-R...
O-U-R-E-A-U-X.
No, it is not. What a gloid.
Don't call me a gloid, okay?
It's T-H-O-R-E-A-U...
Yeah?
I don't know.
X. Anyway, what did he say, Bud?
Most men lead lives of quiet desperation.
Exactly. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation, but on this show, our desperation is right out in the open. It's loud and it's in your face. On the Phil Hendry Show, we lead lives... Never mind.
Truth is
Thank
our
you.
Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's the life we lead. Truth is our bitch.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God. That, she's a lovely girl.
Yeah. This Hannah Storm story, did you guys know this story?
I didn't know about it, no.
Hannah Storm is going to be back on the air, so the good news is she's returning to television this week sometime. Maybe she already has. But she had a gas grill accident, and she had a gas grill accident. Talk about, you know, life experience. She had a gas grill accident that we've all had. Sooner or later, everybody does this dumb thing. 3 weeks after a gas grill accident that burned off much of her hair and left her with second-degree burns, ESPN anchor Hannah Storm will return to the air on... Well, this is an old story. This is New Year's Day, so she's back on the air as of New Year's Day. Why is this story so old?
Well, Phil, you're pulling old news.
Well, all right, I may be pulling old news, but the fact that this gas grill accident, man, I didn't know about. I don't think anybody else did, unless you were just religiously watching Hannah Storm and her every move. And I suppose there are some guys.
Yeah, man, you're on YouTube. There's guys out there, they're in love with Hannah Storm, and they have all the pictures of her and her legs, too.
Yeah, they got... There's one guy that has a video channel of Jamie Colby from Fox, and it'll be like, hey, here's Jamie. I got one of her walking.
What? What? What are you talking about?
I'm saying there's a guy on YouTube. Forget it.
Bud, no, really, I just didn't understand.
I'm saying there's a guy on YouTube that has a Jamie Colby video of her walking.
A Jamie Colby video of her walking.
Yeah, the guy thinks it's hot.
Jamie Colby of Fox walking.
Yes, I guess these guys think it's hot when they see one of these anchors walking around. Because they all look like they've got, well...
Like they've got what?
If you look at Jamie Colby, or you looked at that really cute blonde on Fox, Megyn Kelly, you know the one?
Yeah.
All right. When you watch them walking, they walk like they have...
Like they have what?
They've got a pole stuck up there.
Margaret, we're going to have to work this out, okay?
Work out what?
The whispering. I'm on the radio.
I am a lady.
Well, okay, I'll say it.
Go ahead.
She's walking like she's got... like there's a pole wedged.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly of Fox News walks like she's got a pole wedged.
Yes.
And so does Jamie Colby.
Yeah.
Now, why do you suppose that is?
I think it's because of the high heels. They've got those girls in those enormous heels. And if you saw Jamie Colby, I'll tell you when I... Not Jamie Colby, Megyn Kelly. I saw her on the Fox News coverage of the election back in November. And she was walking down a hallway to the Fox decision desk or something like that because there was some Karl Rove-generated controversy, as usual. You don't understand why people dislike Karl Rove, Phil, but this is exactly why. He can't keep his big fat mouth shut. He's always causing a problem. Always. And that's why people don't like Karl Rove. You don't understand.
All right, I'm willing to understand, Margaret. I you know, is this the thing when he said that he thought that Ohio was still going to go for Romney?
Yes, and Jamie Colby walked back there. Well, they had a long shot of her coming down the hallway with the camera, and she was walking as if she was trying to get something out of her you-know-what.
She was walking as if she was trying... Was she holding the microphone with two hands?
No, that's just it. She had one hand, and you didn't see the other hand.
And it looked like it was behind her, and she was trying to unwedge something. Oh, you see, this is where people think you're shocked. You're actually laughing.
I am laughing! You're telling me she's walking down the hall with one hand behind her?
Yeah, because of the way she was walking.
If you saw it, Mr. Henry.
Let's get, is it Don Berman? Can we get Don Berman on the line? Because Don is a television anchor, and maybe he understands a little bit more what it is you guys are talking about than I do. Don Berman from Channel 19 is on the line with us here. Don, you heard this, right?
What they're trying to say, Phil, is, and it may be, Margaret, you may be right, because of the high heels these girls wear. Megyn Kelly was in very, very high, 3-inch heels.
They're extremely high, Phil. They're not open toe or anything like that. They're black high heels, but they're very, very, they look very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and so the effect is that when these girls are walking, they walk as if they're trying to get something out of their blankety-blank.
Well, there's only two areas...
Shut up, bud. I'll do it, okay? There's only two areas that...
Oh, you're doing it a lot better.
Well, no. I don't mean... please understand, Phil. I would not talk in that manner on your program. Please please rest assured I won't do that.
Okay.
I'm not talking about where babies come from. I'm talking about where the other. You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on for a minute.
Well, don't put me on hold like I'm some cheap.
All right, so...
You just put him on hold. Now, you know what that's going to...
If he busts off a hold, he busts off a hold. But what I'm trying to say, if you'll pardon me, is that we don't have to...
Hey! You don't put me on hold, and Phil, I told you...
Okay, so I just hung up on him. So there you go.
Well, so that's what you're going to do.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang up on anybody busting off a hold. Now... Jamie Colby and Megyn Kelly walk like they've got something wedged up there, you know what, and it's not where babies come from. Is that what I'm supposed to be talking about here?
You asked the question, Phil.
No, I didn't ask any. I was asking about Hannah Storm returning to work after having her face burned off by a gas.
Her face was not burned off.
I tell you what, hold on. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah! I just didn't break off a pole.
Phil Hendry.